سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بعاد إرم ذات العماد التي لم يخلق مثلها في البلاد، وثمود الذين جابوا الصخر بالواد، وفرعون ذي الأوتاد الذين طغوا في البلاد، فأكثروا فيها الفساد، فصب عليهم ربك سوط عذاب، إن ربك لبالمرصاد. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله ليملي للظالم حتى إذا أخذه لم يفلته، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم، جزى الله عنا نبينا ومولانا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. One of the great thinkers and great ulama of the recent past, who was accepted both in the Arab and non-Arab world, Maulana Sayyid Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimahullah. Among the many books that he wrote, one book which is an elementary book in the Arabic language, which is studied in madaris across the world, they studied this kitab, Qasasun Nabiyin. It's written for children. But because the author was such a great thinker, he was given the title of Mufakkirul Islam, the great thinker of Islam. So the some places, the phrases that he uses are very, very meaningful, are filled with meaning. And those phrases actually give a very profound lesson, and they give lessons that could be applied later on as well. So when he discusses the incident of Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun, and he speaks about the encounter between the magicians of Fir'aun and Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, which was a plot of Fir'aun. He came about this plot that I will bring these magicians to defeat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and to show my people that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is actually practicing magic. And in this way I will protect my people and save them from believing in Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. This incident of Fir'aun and Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is a very amazing incident. How at different junctures, the plot of Fir'aun failed. Now this was one mighty plot that he came about with, that all these magicians will be brought. The historians go up to saying that there were approximately 70 to 80,000 magicians that Fir'aun had gathered to challenge Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And what happened at the end of the day, those same people that came to challenge Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, they bring iman in Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and the Rabb of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and they become the greatest shuhada of the time. Fir'aun executed all of them. So this plot of Fir'aun failed terribly. Now imagine a person who's in power, who feels that I'm almighty, all powerful. He feels I have taken every step, every plot, every plan. I got a solution for every new development. And now when his plot fails in this way, what happens to this person? Maulana Abul Hasan al-Nadwi rahimahullah, he encapsulates this so beautifully. Obviously, it can truly be appreciated only in the Arabic language. He says, "Junna jununu Fir'aun." Fir'aun went mad. Fir'aun went off his head. In simple terms, وَقَامَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَقَعَدْ وَبَرَقَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَرَعَدْ. Fir'aun stood up, he sat down, he didn't know what he was doing. The words he uses, although it cannot be translated correctly in the English language, he says Fir'aun was behaving like the lightning and the thunder. Meaning he lost himself, he lost his senses. He didn't know how he must respond to this. This plot of his failed so terribly. Those same people that he brought to challenge Musa alayhi salatu wasalam now have brought iman in Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Inna sihamahu irtaddat alayhi. His own arrows now were shooting against him. What must have been his state at that time? Respected friends, to understand what Fir'aun was going through, perhaps we see what the Fir'aun of today is doing. This last week was a very crazy week. The reaction of the Fir'aun of today and the manner in which they are behaving, this is exactly what Fir'aun did. When they are failing so terribly, their plots are failing, they don't know what to do. Within a space of 2 days or 3 days, they attack and they bomb 5 countries. Gaza city is being completely decimated. High-rise buildings where thousands of people are living, civilians, innocent civilians, and the bombing is going on. Bombing and bombing and bombing. Who are they bombing? They're only bombing civilians. So that is going on in Gaza city. Then they bomb Yemen. They bomb Syria. They bomb the flotilla on the shore, on the coast of Tunisia. And then the very, very historic bombing and strikes in Qatar. This is something which perhaps history hasn't witnessed. History hasn't witnessed this. That you go and you bomb and you strike the negotiating team. Your big brother puts forward a proposal. Your big brother puts forward a proposal. Why? In your interest. And now they are negotiating. They've already gone ahead in that negotiation. And you go and strike them in a country that is facilitating the negotiation. Something that perhaps history hasn't seen, something like this. But why? It is that same Fir'aunic behavior. Junna jununu Fir'aun. Junna jununu Israel. Israel is gone crazy. They've gone crazy. They don't know how to respond to the situation that they have. Just to discuss a little about this, the strikes that happened in Qatar. An important event it was. And what a terrible failure it was for them. As we explained, it's something that perhaps is unprecedented in history. To take such a brazen step, such a brazen step in the heart of Doha, in the heart of Qatar, the capital of Qatar, Doha, in an upmarket area, in an area where there are many Western embassies around there. And to this level of strike, 10 or more fighter jets, all at one strike. Why? So that there must be no possibility of them surviving. And reports are suggesting that the warheads that were used were never used before. So powerful strike. But Allah saved the people that they wanted to kill. That is the plan of Allah subhanahu. Allah only knows the reality. I came across one article, it's an Arabic article, that has been reposted by some reliable people. So I think inshallah that this information is reliable. But an amazing point that they mention, that is perhaps the reason how Allah saved these people. The negotiating team, the head of the negotiating team, Khalil Hayya, whose son and he is very close confidant became shaheed in this. His wife and some grandchildren perhaps were injured in it. They struck his house, they struck his office. The Asr Azan went at 3:35. And these people, the seniors, the leaders who were the target, because of their commitment to Salah, they left the office and they went to the Musalla, which was at a distance from the office. They left their cell phones in the office because the cell phone signal was being tracked. They went for Salah, they left their cell phones. They went for Salah, the bodyguards were there, the office staff were there in the office, and when the strike happened, Allah saved them because of their Salah. Now when Allah wants to save someone, this is how Allah will save a person, whether it was this the reason or some other reason, but Allah saved them miraculously. So miraculously that the enemy can't believe that they were saved. They can't believe that anyone would have escaped this. But Allah wanted to protect these people. Now this is a terrible failure for them. For them to do something so brazen, something that is unprecedented in history, to go to that extent, to eliminate the enemy, and then whilst you are busy in a negotiation, but still to fail. And this is exactly what is happening all the time. Their plans are failing on a daily basis. Their own military is saying that there's no plan that we have. The political leadership doesn't have any plan. It's the same thing. Junna jununu Fir'aun. They've gone mad and crazy. They don't know how to react to the situation. And Allah is showing us that how His plan will overpower every other plot. Those same people that we think they control the world, anything that happens, any part of the world, they control it. They can't control what's happening on their doorstep. This week, in the heart of their capital, in Jerusalem, 6 or 7 of their people were killed, and so many were injured. At the same time in Jabalia, which was invaded multiple times, one mujahid goes with the power of Iman, takes an explosive, throws it inside the tank, and all 4 soldiers that are there all burnt to death. It's all happening, respected friends. This is how Allah is showing us His Qudrat. Allah is showing us His power, and how the enemy's plots are all being destroyed. Respected friends, whilst obviously the loss of lives and this kind of brazen actions of theirs, just bombing wherever they want to, as if they are in total control, whilst this hurts us, whilst this is a reason for concern, but there is also a very positive side to this. There is a very positive side to this. And we need to understand the positive side to this as well. The positive side is, if we look at it from the perspective of reality, from a realistic perspective, then a person only behaves like this when he is losing his control. When he is losing his power, when he is not in control, then he will behave in this manner. Like an animal that is in danger. The animal will be extremely dangerous at that time. Why? Because the life is in danger. So realistically, if we speak about it, this behavior is a sign, which they never did before. It's a sign that they are feeling the threat. They are feeling the danger. And therefore, they are behaving in this way. And similarly, if you look at it from a Quranic perspective, from a Dini perspective, then we will find that this is also positive. And how it is positive, in various incidents that are mentioned in the Quran Majeed, inshallah, we will discuss some of these incidents. Allah shows us that the enemy was destroyed when the enemy was at the peak of its power, not when it was weak. When the enemy was at the peak of its power, it was destroyed, not when it was weak. So when they feel that we are so powerful, and they've sent the message that now is Qatar, next is going to be Turkey, we are showing that our long arm will reach them anywhere in the world. Anywhere in the world, but you can't control what is happening under your nose. When they make these kind of statements, then these are all positive signs. The positive sign is that they are closer to their destruction. This is definite. Inna Allah la yumri lil zalim. That Allah gives respite to an oppressor. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, فَإِذَا أَخَذَهُ لَمْ يُفْلِتُ. When Allah seizes him, then Allah won't release him. Look at what happened in Syria. And the zalim that was there, and where is he gone? Look at the zulam that took place for 20 years in Afghanistan. And now they can sit in the White House and say, send back all the military equipment. Something that you lost at the hands of the resistance fighters, you think they're going to hand it over to you. So, respected friends, these are all positive signs. For approximately 80 years, this cancer was oppressing our brothers and sisters in Palestine. And now the situation is changing. I came across a very interesting article by a very good Palestinian author. And I thought I'll share some of the excerpts from this. Because these people understand the situation better than us. They are people who are living the situation. Either they are there in Gaza or they are out of Gaza, but they have close family members that are there. They have acquaintances that are there. They have been the target of oppression for so long. When they explain something that will be the more accurate explanation and perspective of that issue compared to our own understanding sitting so far away, not understanding what this is all about. So this person writes, he says that the fall of Israel is a Quranic truth and it's a prophetic promise. It's a promise of Allah, it's a promise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, فَلِهَذَا نَحْنُ لَا نَسْأَلُ هَلْ تَزُولُ أَمْ لَا لِأَنَّهَا زَائِلَةٌ لَا مَحَالَ وَإِنَّمَا السُّؤَالُ هُوَ مَتَى. He says, it is not a question of whether it's going to happen or not. It's just a question of when it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. And this has to be our yaqeen. That it's definitely going to happen. It's just a question of when it's going to happen. Then he goes on to say that I'm not a person who normally waits, sits back and waits for miracles. That's normally what happens. Some people have this tendency, we wait for a miracle to happen. No, we'll do nothing. Mahdi will come and sort everything out. He says, I'm not that kind of a person who will sit back and wait for miracles. But he says, when falsehood attacks with all its might and appears to be just a step away from victory, and truth holds out until its last atom of steadfastness and appears to be on the verge of defeat, then the miracle comes. And this is what is happening today, respected friends. That they feel that this is the time for them to be victorious, to build a temple. And they dream of the greater Israel, which is now clear, they are mentioning it. There's nothing hidden, it's clearly been spoken about. And these people are just pulling on, holding on. In fact, some person from Gaza mentioned that many of those on the front line have seen dreams of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, little more sabr, little more sabr. So respected friends, that time is actually coming close. How close, that we won't know. That no one will be able to tell us how close. Maybe we'll see it in our lifetime, or depending how long we live, or our children may see it. But the point is that all, whatever is happening, are all signs that that end of this cancer is coming close. He goes on to say that the Quran Majid teaches an established reality. Very interesting point. He says you get two types of struggles. One is a struggle just for influence, just for control. So some people will be fighting because they want to control the world. So there will be certain wars because of control, because of influence. He says when it comes to these kind of struggles, these kind of wars, then it depends on the might and the power of the individuals or the parties. Depending on the might and power of the party, that party will win. But he says there's a second type of struggle that is spoken about in Quran. And that is that struggle which is based on belief and faith. That belief which is based on aqidah and iman. It's not a fight because of influence, not because of control. It's a fight because of iman and kufr. He says there the system is different. And he gives many substantiations from the Quran, from the Quran Majid. He says there, then it is never necessary for the forces to be equal, resources to match. All the tyrants whom Allah seized with the power of a mighty and powerful one were seized when they were at the height of their tyranny. And then he goes on to explain Fir'aun. We spoke about Fir'aun and his behavior, that crazy behavior. When Allah destroyed Fir'aun, it was a time when he was claiming, Ana Rabbukumul A'la. I am the Lord Supreme. Imagine for a person to claim to be Allah, to claim to be God. How powerful he was, fooled. He was so fooled to think that I'm so powerful. I'm in so much of control that I am God. Ana Rabbukumul A'la. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seized him at the front of his well-equipped army. Amazing. This incident of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun. The Banu Israel were trapped. Fir'aun behind and the ocean in front. Very similar to what is happening in Gaza city today. The ocean is in front of them and the army is advancing. This is the moment when the help of Allah came. The Banu Israel said, Inna lamudrakun. Definitely we are finished. Definitely they're going to seize us. The voice of Iman at that time was the voice of Musa alayhi salam. And that has to be the voice of Iman today. Kalla inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. And this is the voice of the people in Gaza today. Rabb will make a way out for me. At the height of his glory, when Fir'aun thought, now I'm going to finish these people, there's nowhere for them to run. At that moment, Allah destroyed him. So Allah didn't make him weak and then destroyed him. We're waiting. How this whole country, which is so powerful, how are they going to be destroyed? How Allah destroyed Fir'aun. The next example he gives, the example of Ad, or the example of Namrud, that tyrant king in the time of Musa, in the time of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was so arrogant. He was so proud. He felt he's so much in control that he actually says to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ana uhyi wa umid. I control life and death. And this is what these people feel today. We will decide who will live and who will die. Allah shows them that all your plans will fail. How precise it may be, how advanced your intelligence may be, how advanced your fighter jets may be, what preparations you made, but Allah will make something happen at that time. Even if it is those people responding to the call of azan and going for salah, and Allah will make all your plans fail. He said, "Ana uhyi wa umit." I control life and death. What happened to him? Allah destroyed him at the pinnacle of his glory and his might. Then he speaks about Ad. Ad, powerful people. لَمْ يُخْلَقْ مِثْلُهَا فِي الْبِلَادِ. There was no one as powerful as the Ad. Allah speaks about them in Quran. We'll discuss that ayat at the end. Where Allah speaks about this entire, whatever we explain, the gist of it is explained in this ayat of Surah Fajr. So, when Allah destroyed the Ad, Allah didn't change the control. Allah didn't change the balance of power. What happened? Allah destroyed them when they were at the same time when they were claiming man ashaddu minna quwwa, who is more powerful than us. The same statements we are hearing today, respected friends, from the Fir'auns of today. But these are all signs that the end becomes closer. The Thamud, they were carving homes from the mountains with their bare hands. Imagine how strong they were. But Allah destroyed them also. The Qawm of Lut, the people of Lut alayhi salam, they became so brazen that they came to do their filthy act with the guest of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. They didn't even have the decency to honor the guest of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. But those guests were actually the malaika and the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they reached that point, so brazen they were. So brazen they were. Allah destroyed them at that time. Look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Jahl. At the occasion of Badr, when Abu Jahl was slain and he was killed. Before that, what did Abu Jahl say? Abu Jahl said, when Abu Sufyan sent the message that the caravan is safe, go back. He says, we not going back. We will go to the water source of Badr. And we will merry make there. We will have a party there. We will have our singing girls there. So that everyone in Arabia must hear about our power and no one must mess with us. Paraphrase translation. No one must mess with us. Everyone will know about it. And he went to his death and Allah destroyed him. Like that, Khandaq, the amazing incident and battle of the trench. When all the coalition forces joined, we hear about coalitions now. The coalition forces joined against Madinah Munawwara. They were so powerful and so strong. At that time, the believers were so weak. They were in such a position that Allah speaks about the siege that was laid on Madinah Munawwara. We're hearing about the siege of Gaza. It was the siege of Madinah Munawwara. Allah says in the Quran Majid, اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءوكم من فوقكم ومن أسفل منكم. They came to you from above you, from beneath you. What is happening in Gaza today? Allah describes the incident of the battle of Khandaq and trench in a similar manner. جاءوكم من فوقكم ومن أسفل منكم وإذ زاغت الأبصار وبلغت القلوب الحناجر. Your eyes were left open. You didn't know, you were losing your senses. بلغت القلوب الحناجر. The hearts were reaching the throats. وتظنون بالله الظنونا. All different types of thoughts. When is the help of Allah going to come? And the Muslims today going through a similar situation. Allah says, هُنَالِكَ بْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Allah says, at that time the believers were tested. And they were shaken very severely. Imagine if Allah is saying they were shaken very severely. What must have been their state at that time? But at that time Allah sent the winds. And such a victory came that these people had to leave with their tails between their legs. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-an naghzuhum wa la yaghzuna. Now the tables will turn. We will fight against them. They will never march on Madinah Munawwara. And that was the end of the encounter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quraysh. They never marched on Madinah Munawwara thereafter. When it happened, when they felt we are all powerful, we have our coalition forces, and when the believers were suffering in this way. And like this, respected friends, there are so many other examples in history. In the time of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, the battle of Yarmouk, when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum defeated the Romans, the superpower of the time. They had already defeated the Persians, who were the other superpower. And at that time, in the Battle of Yarmouk, more than 200,000 Romans facing 40,000 Sahaba. And they had the most advanced plans, military plans that they had. But Allah destroyed the superpower. Allah destroyed the Romans at the height of their victory. And when Muslims were so weak at that time. So respected friends, the point is that we should never lose hope. And these are all signs. This person himself says, he says that when, as I said, he's a Palestinian. He says, when the war started, I felt that this is just one more round of the war. There were many wars that were fought in Gaza. Many wars, perhaps this is the 10th war. Approximately the 10th war that has been fought there. He says, I thought this is just one more round of the war. But he says that no other round of the war lasted for more than a few days. Every other round of the war, there were just a few days. And then there was a ceasefire, there was some kind of negotiation and some type of agreement. He says that this is that very, very different war. And we've heard this many people from Gaza saying that this is the last war, this is the final war. They are so confident about this. Wallahi, hadhi ma'rakatun nihaya. At the beginning of the war, they said, by the qasam of Allah, this is the final war. So these people are really feeling. He went on to explain something. He says, I'm not against rationality. Some may feel, he's talking nonsense. It's not rational what he's saying. He says, I'm not against rationality. And I'm not against looking at resources, looking at worldly means. But he says, when I examine reality, then rationality rejects this kind of steadfastness. It's not possible. Rationally, intellectually, it's not possible for a group, for a people to manage for so long. He says it goes against all reason. The reality is that great powers would have collapsed under this kind of bombardment and aggression. He says Gaza is so small. It's smaller than many capitals of the world. The whole country, if you want to call it the country, the whole country is smaller than most capitals of the world. It's so small. And he says from a military perspective, there's no mountains there, there's no forest there. They are on a very, very bad footing in terms of military. But he says how they have survived for so long. This shows that this is something very, very special. He says that what is definite, أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْحَرْبِ خَرَجَتْ مُنْذُ زَمَنٍ مِنْ أَيْدِينَا وَأَيْدِيهِمْ. He says what is definite is this war, since a long time, has come out from our control and the control of the enemy. No one is in control. He says, يَدُ اللَّهِ. It is only the control of Allah which is guiding this war. They can't understand. The people of Gaza are saying repeatedly, people of Iman, they are saying, people with strong Iman, they're saying, we can't give a logical explanation to the steadfastness of our people. We can't give an explanation. And this is what is making the enemy mad. So this events that we saw this last week, this crazy events, and this kind of brazen steps that they take, is all as a result of them not understanding how to control the situation. It's something beyond them. It's impossible for something like this to happen. So, he says, هَذَا الْإِحْتِلَالْ زَائِلٌ. He says that this occupation is definitely going to come to an end. In history, no occupation lasted. No occupation is that they may be a long time, maybe a short time. Asa ay yakuna qariba. Perhaps it is very, very close. We will conclude an ayat of Surah Fajr, where Allah takes five qasams. Allah takes five qasams. These ayat actually are very linked to all the examples that we gave. Allah takes five qasams. And thereafter Allah says, Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi'ad. Don't you see how Irama dhatil imad, there were people that were tall like pillars. They were so tall. Allati lam yukhlaq mithluha fil bilad. No one in history was created, no one on earth was created like them. There was no one so powerful, so mighty, so tall, so strong, with that kind of build, like the Aad. وَثَمُودَ الَّذِينَ جَابُوا الصَّخْرَ بِالْوَادِ. And didn't you see how Allah dealt with Thamud, who were carving their homes from the mountains? وَفِرْعَوْنَ ذِي الْأَوْتَادِ. And Fir'aun, the one of pegs. Two explanations Mufassirin gave. One is his army was so massive that when they would travel, they had to put up many, many tents. Therefore, he is known as the one of pegs. And the other explanation is, when he would punish someone, then he would place four pegs and he will tie the person in that manner and torture him to death, like how he did with his own wife, Asiya, radiyallahu anha. So, Fir'aun adil autad, Allah says regarding all of them, Alladhina taghaw fil bilad, those that transgressed all bounds in the land. What we're seeing today, الَّذِينَ تَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ. They've transgressed every bound. No international regulation, no international law they care about. Allah speaks about it. It happened before. It's not the first time that the world is witnessing something like this. فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. They made and they caused lots of mischief on the earth. And Allah says, what happened after that? فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابٍ. So beautifully Allah says, Allah poured upon them different types of punishments. The word is sawt, which means a whoop. Because when a person is whooping someone, he doesn't whoop on the same spot. He whoops all over the body. In the similar manner, Allah poured upon them different types of punishments. This is what Allah did. And then Allah gives us hope and Allah says, Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Your Rabb is not sleeping. Your Rabb is not negligent. Your Rabb is not away. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Your Rabb is waiting in ambush. Literal translation. Your Rabb is waiting in ambush. Meaning Allah is fully aware of every move of these people. And Allah will also take them to task. And Allah will also seize them. Respected friends, it's a time for us as an ummah to have our yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To understand that the period ahead inshallah is a period of victory of the ummah. Yes, there will be a period of difficulty. How long it will be, we don't know. And then the important question that we need to ask ourselves is, what share or what role am I playing in the victory and rise of the ummah? Do I have something that I can contribute for the sake of the ummah? Whether it is one dua. Last night, the Qata'ib al-Qasam, they sent out an appeal to the people of the world to use this Thursday night. We can continue on the Friday to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their help, because they understand that the strength that they're receiving is because of an ummah behind them that's making dua for them. It was an appeal to the Muslims of the world. And alhamdulillah, Muslims across the world had mobilized for this to make dua for them. So whether it is a dua, whether it is some financial assistance, whether it is leaving our sins and saying, oh Allah, I am sacrificing this sin for the sake of those children that are starving there in Gaza. Something that we can do, at least on the day of Qiyamah, we will have something to present before Allah, that I did something for the sake of my suffering brothers and sisters, and I had a small share in the rise of the ummah. One of the very, very important things, respected friends, which the people of Gaza did many, many years ago, Sheikh Ahmad Yasin, rahimahullah, was he made effort on the youth of Gaza. They made a lot of effort on the youth. Those youngsters that you are seeing standing in front of a tank and blowing up that tank, that is no physical strength that will make someone do that. This week it happened, climbing on top of the tank and throwing the explosive inside. No physical strength will allow a person to do that. That is a very strong imani strength. And we also have to make an effort on our iman, and especially on the iman of our next generation. Alhamdulillah, tomorrow night a very, very important program will be taking place after Maghrib Salah. Jamaat from Australia, inshallah, is here. And they will be giving their karguzari. They will be giving their experiences, the strength of iman. Let us encourage all our youngsters to attend. Adults can attend as well. And inshallah, we will benefit. Our iman will be built. And inshallah, we will prepare ourselves in the next generation for the future times that wait ahead. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa mulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.